The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? In Sixer world, you know, it's one of those games, and you all felt it at the end. And he makes the shot, and you go, oh, my God. It was like one of those finishes where you, that's all you could come out of your mouth. Oh, my God. He made that shot after climbing uphill the whole game. Right there, we're unable to get over the hump, get it into overtime, and it ends with that. Joel Embiid is a superstar beyond superstars. Not afraid of the moment. To the point where Doc Rivers, and I've been listening to people nationally all day, and they go, oh, I can't believe you would design a play for a 7'2" guy, three-pointer. Well, let's examine what this was, right? They only had a chance to get off a shot, which had to be a three-point shot because that's all the time on the clock was going to allow you to do. So you're Doc Rivers, and you look around, and you go, who do I trust in that situation to make the three? He trusts the 7-foot center. This is what people don't understand about what an MVP is. He designs a play to free up the 7-2 center to get a clean look at a three because that's who he trusted at the time. And it was the right call. And everybody did their job. I give a lot of credit to Tobias Harris. That screen, that freedom, it went off like clockwork. And the Sixers, I cannot believe now this is not going to be a sweep. After you lose a game like that, you get gutted like that. Because Toronto really looked like they were going to win that game. And you lose it, you're done. You got nothing left. I don't care if Scotty Barnes or, is Scotty Pippen. It doesn't matter to me at this point. That win was one of the great wins you're ever going to see a Philadelphia team get. And I'm looking at this game, and I'm going, oh, man, this would be a shame if they lost this game. They're hanging in there, hanging in there. They just can't get over the hump. And they find themselves down by 5 with 2 minutes to go, and boom, right back in it. And it sets up. Now, the possession at the end of regulation left a lot to be desired. And I thought a key was, it's a small play, and nobody can, Maxey gets the layup to start overtime, which I thought cut the tension. Like, they got the go-ahead basket right away in overtime. I think it allowed them to play a comfortable overtime, and it results in that. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That was enjoyable TV, man, to watch that game last night, and to see the crowd go completely silent. You see that punk Drake? Like, walking out trying to hang on to Embiid, Gallo's smile that he had on. Sorry, City. I know you had your moment in 2019. You're done. It's over. Tyrone, your thoughts.
Man, what an ending. What an ending to the game. 3-0 lead. Joel Embiid does it again. Now, I don't understand. These people, it's funny. The national people now have to find a way to try to pretend like that wasn't special last night. There's one player in the world who could do what Joel Embiid did in that game. Switching on the guards, switching on the wings, doing all the stuff he does on offense. He's the only guy who can do that. He deserves credit. Tobias Harris, a lot of credit. Doc Rivers, a lot of credit. We can't change up now. Doc Rivers deserves a lot of credit.
He does, and he had the wherewithal to run on the floor, which, you know, it may be a regular season game, gets him a tee, but he got the timeout to save them on that possession.
That's right. And without Harden in that overtime, That's the other part. You would think on paper, as far as they've come in overtime, no James Harden, no point guard, not going to work. They bear down on defense, get stops. That Toronto offense is not good. That Nick Nurse, I don't know what exactly he calls himself doing on that offensive end, but that's whatever. And they keep on getting stops to where they finally can do something special, and then boom, that's what happens. And I just hope we don't allow, we can let go of some of our old school sensibilities that you just were talking about, kind of, Mike. The shot at the end was the shot that you can get. Forget for a second the size of Joel Embiid. Imagine if Joel Embiid was 6'6" like Kobe and Michael Jordan. That's the play. The reason they get that play late is because Kawhi Leonard, because that's the easiest inbounds pass, because the first thing is get a shot off. You make no shots that if you can't get it off. So number one is you have to get a shot off. If you want to beat in that spot, some of you old school cats, to go in the paint at that point, and they'll never get him
the ball.
They
don't have time to get him the ball. You would have to, you can't throw the inbounds pass in there, and you can't like throw it inbound it and help that guy gets it in. You don't have enough time to do that.
Exactly. That was the play necessary to get a shot off. That's the most important thing. And the fact that he made it crushes the hearts of all the people that wants basketball to be played like it's 1982 still. The game has changed. It's 40 years later, and it's a glorious game if you just enjoy it. How could you watch that game last night? They're down 17 points. They're turning the ball over every damn possession. Somehow you look up at halftime, they're down 10.
They battled their way back into it. That's what's the enjoyable part of what I saw last night. They battled, and you know, in a game, it's game three, right? You might have a tendency, we get plenty of time to win this series. They freaking went uphill the whole game and got it to the point where it was manageable.
That's right, and I understand the blowouts are sexier. I get it. But when you're testing a team, when you're measuring a team, there are going to be other moments like this going forward as the competition gets better and just human nature. Sometimes you don't make shots. Sometimes you make mistakes. Can your team win when they're not at their best? Because almost any of these teams can win when they're at their best. The real teams, they played a D game last night. Not an F, but a D game. And they won. That says a lot about this, the fortitude of the squad, the fortitude of the coach. These guys clearly didn't panic. That has to go to Doc. Doc kept those guys, just kept the oars in the water and kept on rowing the boat. And then, bang, you get rewarded at the end. And Toronto, oh, they're cursing at Embiid. They're talking about foul shots. Embiid had made 6 foul shots. 33 points. That's because he's a great player. Don't let this propaganda try to tell you this dude's not great.
No, and here's the thing. There's a lot of people with egg on their face who already voted for the MVP. Pascal Siakam was scared to death when Embiid had him, and Embiid took him. And they took Siakam right out of the game. Van Vliet, same thing. They took their two best players out of the game, and then you got, like, Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa had great games. It didn't really matter because their big players were out of the game. And Embiid had that kind of effect. Siakam was scared to death because Embiid got him. Now, anybody doing that with Jokic? No, I don't think so. So all these people now that saw that last night and have already casted their vote are going to feel like idiots. And you should feel like an idiot. Jen Scordo, how do you feel?
Oh, well, it was exciting. I was super tired for whatever reason last night. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, this game's going to go to overtime. My God, this game is going to go to overtime. And sure enough, it did. And the excitement that Joel Embiid had after he hit the game-winning three. I mean, like, literally jumping up and down like a child. Not just excited, but jumping up and down like a child. And that kind of jubilation, it literally rocked through me to my core. I'm so pumped. And I heard it this morning. I heard this morning a national pundit say, if Scottie Barnes was in that game last night, they wouldn't have gone to overtime.
No, whatever.
Get a life. I don't know if they watched the same game.
How about, was Stiebel in the game last night?
That win climbing up a hill, they did it without a guy in their rotation.
Exactly.
Now, you might not think that that matters, but those guys were forced to play a lot of minutes because Thibel wasn't there.
Yep.
So let's look at the reality of the situation. You know, Toronto had plenty of chances to win. If you look at the play-by-play of that, it got to 87-87. Embiid made the three-pointer, tied it at 87. And then what happened from that point on? Trent misses a shot. Sixers got a chance to take the lead. Maxey turns it over. And Anunoby comes down, misses again, and then Danny Green missed that layup. So they made stops to overcome them not being able to score. And when they weren't able to score, I'm going, man, this is a damn shame. This is an indication they may lose this game because they just can't get over the hump. And finally, you get to overtime and they get over the hump. Listen, we'll talk about this game all day, man. Because I can talk about it all day. So many great things happen in that game.
You're absolutely right, Mike. This is like, and I'm not going to be one of these people. There are people out there, Mike, I guess we can address it right now, who almost want to say, oh, don't overreact. No. This is the playoffs. We're not going to wait until the NBA Finals to get excited. We're allowed to be excited about a playoff win in overtime on a buzzer beater. If we're not allowed to get excited then, what exactly can you got to, we got to wait till the finals to get excited? No. Everybody should be excited right damn now. We should be waiting.
As far as I know, they didn't play Miami last night. So I have no thoughts on a Miami series.
Me neither. None.
Right?
We were talking about this series,
I said I would be shocked if Toronto won a game. And last night, they couldn't win a game they should have won. So, just put the white flag out, game four. Let's get this nonsense over with and get some rest, and then we'll start paying attention to the next series. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That game didn't make you feel good about the Sixers. Nothing is. Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Simon, what's brewing with Jen? Yeah. Do it every day at this time, 3:45. Mark your time stamps. Anyway, what's brewing with Jen? This is where Jen finds three interesting and discussable stories from around the globe. And it's brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, you can pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. It's valid at participating locations. For a limited time, exclusions do apply. Jen, what do we have on What's Brewing?
We're starting with Taco Bell today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Taco Bell has released a hot sauce packet luggage collection. So you can now buy luggage that looks like the hot sauce packages from Taco Bell. I think it's brilliant. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I wouldn't buy one.
You wouldn't? Why not? It's bright orange?
No, that's...
They say that that's great for luggage when you go to an airport. Everybody's got black luggage or brown luggage. No, you got the bright orange hot sauce bag.
I'm not in the mood to give anybody free advertising unless they're paying.
I guess
if they
want to
send
point.
Me luggage, I'll tote it. But I'm not getting
right.
a Taco Bell luggage.
Look at you. You're thinking too much. So the colorful line includes pieces named after the Taco Bell hot sauces, a fire carry-on suitcase, a mild five-piece set of packing cubes, a hot duffel bag, and a Diablo crossbody bag. You can purchase through Taco Bell's website. I think it's very cute and very exciting, and I would love some. I don't know how much they cost. They're probably too expensive for my budget. And in case you missed it, the infamous, beloved Mexican pizza is being brought back to Taco Bell menus on May 19th, which is just in time for my birthday, so you know what I'm going to be doing that weekend.
Wow.
You a fan of the Mexican pizza? That was a big deal.
I mean, I was.
You weren't? Not anymore?
What's in it anymore? Don't they have beef in it?
Right, yeah.
You can't eat it.
It was a big deal when they took it off the menu.
Yeah, people were upset. I
heard it was because of the packaging, too.
The packaging costs too much money. Yeah, all the cardboard that they use or whatever with it to keep it nice.
But there were change.org petitions to bring it back.
Yeah, people all excited about it. I'm not rocking that luggage.
No?
Well.
I love it. I think it's great.
I already have like a different color luggage so that I at the
see, I don't.
Why wouldn't you just buy orange luggage?
I have green
because
I
you
have
get
like
Taco
lime,
Bell luggage.
I have lime green and purple, so I can
find. Do you really?
Yeah.
It's you,
yeah. I can usually find my luggage even though it's a plain
blue. I mean, I can too, but. Yeah, what a great conversation starter. You see a Taco Bell hot sauce luggage coming around the circly thing at the airport. Wait,
why is it a conversation starter? Are you going to talk about chalupas?
Well, yeah. Wouldn't somebody be like, look at that. That's pretty cool. I'd be like, yeah, that's mine.
I get my luggage off the thing. I don't want a conversation. I want to get out of there. What a conversation for?
Of course you do. You're miserable, Mike. You don't want to make new friends.
You're waiting for your damn luggage for forever, and you want to have a conversation after you get it?
That is true. Philadelphia Airport, God bless them. You really do wait.
Get out of there.
You wait for a long time.
One time I stopped to go to the bathroom, and I forgot where they said it was.
Yeah.
And I wandered for a while, and then got some help. And I got there, and the bag was still like, it was like... I took a long time. I get my car before
I get the luggage. Right. I do. I go to the garage, get my car, drive around the airport, and I time it perfectly.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
That is smart.
I called the Uber too early one time.
Oh, that's bad.
When I got into the Uber, I gave him $20 cash.
Because you had to wait.
Yeah, because he had to wait for me. Yeah. I felt bad. I didn't want to ruin my... I still am a five-star.
I want no conversation starters.
I gave him money because of how...
No conversation starters.
I like it. All right, sticking with the Taco Bell theme here. I ran across this guy randomly on TikTok, and I followed him, and I haven't paid so much attention to it, but it made me giggle in the beginning, but now it's actually a real thing. So this guy, his name's Chris. He's lost over 85 pounds. In hopes of convincing Taco Bell to revive his favorite menu item, which was the grilled stuff nacho.
I do remember that, but I never had that.
I didn't either. It was continued in 2015. But he just started doing this. The man weighed over 300 pounds. So he went on TikTok every day and kept saying, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to exercise and eat right until Taco Bell brings back the menu item. Taco Bell has not announced that they're bringing back the grilled stuffed nacho. However, he's lost 85 pounds.
Wow. Good for him.
He's almost, he can get to 200 pounds pretty quickly. I think that's great. He's much healthier. He looks much better. It's great. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I think that's good.
So Taco Bell should not bring it back until he gets to his ideal weight.
No good for you, Mike, losing the weight?
He lost the weight by not going to Taco Bell?
He says he's exercising every day. He gets the irony of it that he's exercising every day as his protest to a fast food restaurant.
So now what's he going to do? Load up now?
Well, I'm sure he wouldn't load up.
He'll lose the whole diet thing?
I can't imagine that he would. He's lost 85 pounds.
There are two things I get at Taco Bell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
What?
The Burrito Supreme and the Crunchwrap.
I mean, both great items.
Yeah, that's it. That's how
you get just like an original soft taco?
No, because they're too flimsy.
Oh my gosh.
Too small.
They're so good, though.
They're too small, though.
I'm a big fan of Taco Bell.
I need something hearty.
Well, yeah, you can get a couple
Burrito
of them.
Supreme.
I used to
and
love
that is
the
a good
chalupas.
Item.
I used
Crunch
to
wrap.
Love
chalupas are great.
Chalupa.
I did like the Taco Supreme.
That
was supreme.
It was.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, you got to try.
Supreme.
You got to supreme it.
Yes.
You over have there. To you supreme
it. And I have gone with the beans because I was craving it, so I got it with the beans instead of the meat. And I go get the supreme because then I get the sour cream, the lemon, the cheese.
So good.
So you get a combo and they throw the regular tacos in there.
That's not enough.
You got to have a supreme.
Yeah, I agree.
I like the chili cheese burrito, which they don't have anymore, unless you go to the Taco Bell and say, can you make me a chili cheese burrito? And then sometimes they will because they have all the ingredients.
Really? But they had the fresh burritos they brought in?
Yeah, they were good too.
Designed by somebody?
Yeah, who was that?
Some Mexican chef.
I forget who that was.
Yeah, some lady.
They were good though.
Yeah, they were.
They were really good. Taco Bell always, I like their pintos and cheese too.
There you go.
All right.
I didn't really know the whole menu. And I didn't realize Jen's passion for Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. She couldn't even buy the luggage.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I love Taco Bell. All right. This last story is not about Taco Bell. It's about pot. So a bride has been charged for lacing wedding food with marijuana.
Come on.
So this was in Florida, of course. She's been arrested. She allegedly laced guest food, specifically the lasagna, with marijuana. And people got sick. She didn't tell anybody, and people got sick. That was dumb. Really dumb.
Was it bad grade?
It's not just that.
No, it's like some people can get sick.
Yes. Yeah. So from what I've heard, if you smoke it, it'll hit you one way.
Yes.
When you ingest it that other way, it hits you differently.
Yes.
Some people, if the levels are too high, will get nauseous.
Yeah.
So when she says sick, they likely were throwing up.
Right.
But it wasn't because there was anything wrong with the lasagna. the THC or whatever, once it goes through your system, apparently, when you eat it, can mess you up. It wow. hits you differently. So you can't just do that to people without telling them.
Right.
Now, if you tell some people, there's some people who would absolutely get a second helping.
Yes.
But others would want none.
Yeah. And they
can't just
know.
Put that into food and give it to somebody.
Yeah.
The one guy called 911 because he started feeling weird and he didn't know why. That's because it was the lasagna was laced with pot.
Can't
so the caterer
that.
And the bride both got arrested.
Yeah. Now, wait, so the caterer was in on it?
Caterer was in on it.
What is the caterer doing?
I don't know.
I know the bride, you want to make sure the bride's happy, but there's a line. Like that, the Food and Drug Administration, you can't just be lacing food.
Also, not respecting the lasagna.
Right.
See?
Right. Of course, that's where you go. The food tyrant goes right there.
You gotta respect the lasagna.
No,
I mean,
you can have brownies and stuff, you know?
Well, I was gonna say,
so
couldn't
you, don't
you
respect
make
the brownie?
Another cake.
Well, no, and the brownie's like a luxury item. It's like a
lasagna's like a staple, you say?
Yeah, lasagna's like the entree.
And who eats lasagna at a wedding? I don't know that I've ever had lasagna at a wedding.
Well, you know, yeah. My godfather had lasagna at the wedding.
I'm sorry.
Which I found hard to believe. Like, what is that? Because I felt the same thing.
How do you keep
that
warm?
Do you like your lasagna? What is it? Wait, lasagna? I've never been to a wedding where I had lasagna.
No.
My feeling was the head table got it.
They
can't have that for hundreds of people.
I assumed
that. The mom was like, I insist. And she made it for just like, you know, for Connie and everybody. Just they got it.
It's labor intensive.
Yeah. I don't think it was lasagna for 300.
Right.
I think it was lasagna for 12.
I thought it was a cliche Italian thing, like they throw in there. Like everybody recognized lasagna. I might as well put lasagna in the script.
I mean, I had some
time. But in my mind, it was always the mother decided that, no. He's coming home from the war. I'm making this lasagna.
It is possible.
For him, not for everybody.
It's possible.
They're eating rubber chicken and the bad string beans.
The mixed vegetables.
And all that. The vegetable medley. I hate that medley. That's the worst medley of them all. I hate that medley. That vegetable medley. They always stink. Got the cauliflower. The string bean, the carrots.
Always carrots.
Ugh.
You could get anything at that wedding, though, because they had the sandwiches, too.
Hey, I got two cabagool. Well, you have people bringing stuff, too.
All right. That's what's row of Jen today, brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, pick your day, score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's bring in to me. We haven't talked to him in a while. We get some good football information we need to get from him. But also, what is it like to be a Sixer fan where everybody loves Jokic? Let's talk to James Palmer, NFL Network. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, James.
Mike, I've never been more excited to talk to you in my life after watching that game last night and everything I've been going through over the last several months. I'm very excited for this conversation.
That is awesome. So, we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, this Jokic Embiid thing, and, you know, people in Denver are happy, and Jokic is probably going to get it. So, like, how's that sit with you out there?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Like, because you mentioned Joel Embiid for MVP out here. It's like you're talking about a guy that murdered a family of four in downtown Denver and got away with it. Like, they despise Joel Embiid for no reason, like, other than they're just blatant love for Jokic. And, like, I get it. Like, I get he's going to win. I get it's back-to-back. But to me, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, if you win back-to-back MVPs, like, and you're just bounced in the first round, what's happening out here with the Nuggets against Golden State, like, you got to carry your team as an MVP. I was in high school at Upper Marion when AI is carrying a group against Shaq and Kobe and winning MVP and raising the level of the entire team. You can't get bounced like this if you're the back-to-back MVP. And that's the part that bothers me. And it's hatred for Joel. They're both good, but the hatred for Joel is ridiculous out here.
Well, I don't know if you've had any time to get feedback from the the brethren out there, but yeah, that game last night pretty much defines what he's all about. And I wonder how that resonated in the Mile High City.
Well, listen, this is what they're doing out here right now. They're making excuses for Jokic right now because Michael Porter Jr. is not playing and Jamal Murray hasn't been playing. And if those guys were playing, they'd have a chance. And that, all they're doing right now is making excuses for the Joker and just ignoring what's happening with the Sixers, who are well on their way, hopefully, to a sweep. And they're well on their way to getting swept. And they're sitting here making excuses. Now, I get it. Like, that's what they're going to try to do, defend him no matter what. But I don't think back home we'd be defending Joel no matter what. Like, we'd be much more realistic about it if he wasn't playing. Like, Draymond Green is doing a really good job against Jokic. Like, a two-time MVP should be giving him fits. And Draymond Green's doing a decent job against him.
So, were you tempted after that shot goes in to, like, grab the pots and go out on the streets and bang them like South Philly New Year's?
I thought of it. My tweet got me enough hate from everybody out here in Denver. I was like, I retweeted the Comcast Sports that tweet, or the NBC Sports, I guess, that tweet about with the last shot. And I'm like, that's my MVP. And people are destroying me. Like, they're tweeting me back, like, stick the football. You don't know what you're talking about.
Stick the football.
You're a bum. I was like, guys, I can root for my team. Like, good Lord.
That's unbelievable. All right, let's talk some football issues here. The draft is coming, and it's an exciting draft for the Eagles. Obviously, they made the one trade. James, you got to help me out because these mock drafts are all over the place with me. What are the Eagles doing? Are they going to sit, or is your instincts are that they trade up and get a guy who slides to them?
I mean, who's the GM? I mean, yeah, like Howie loves to move. And he already is putting everything in place, to my understanding. He has a small group you would move up for, and he has that short list, and that's all going to be put in place in terms of what he wants compensation-wise, because things move really fast in the first round. You can't be sitting there negotiating what picks will be done. Everything's pretty much done prior to that. I think if who they want after they pick at 15 is not there, they'd like to slide back with that 18 pick if they can. And I think he's always willing to move because he has been very clear. Maybe more clear, I think, than in previous seasons that they are building. Like, in previous seasons, Howie's been big on, like, I'm one piece away. And he reaches for a piece maybe in free agency or something. It seems like right now he's in more realistic stance of, like, I'm in a building mode, so I need pieces. I think they're in a great spot in the draft. And you mentioned the mocks. Like they're all over the map. Like, they're everywhere. When I talk to teams, they kind of laugh at the mocks. Like, they're like, they have no clue what's happening. And Howie was kind of right when he said he thinks he knows who's going to be picked in that top 20, but he doesn't know where they're going. That's pretty accurate. Like, those guys can be shuffled all over the place, but if quarterback goes at 6 with Carolina, that changes everything. And if you're a team like Philly, you hope these quarterbacks start going. If Atlanta takes a quarterback, then that slides a lot of these guys you like sliding back towards you in the teens.
Are you getting the vibe that Carolina does go quarterback?
They've done a ton of work, and they have a coach that is hanging on by a thread in Matt Rhule. And that can go two ways, right? You pick the right quarterback, you save your job. You pick a quarterback, you buy yourself some time. You pick the wrong quarterback, you bought yourself some time, but you're definitely gone. It's funny because with these quarterbacks, I was talking to probably three different teams over the last couple of days. All of them think none of these guys are first-round picks. All three teams are like, not a single one of these quarterbacks has a first-round grade for us. And two of them need quarterbacks. And so they're going to get drafted higher than they always do. That's what happens with quarterback. They always get picked higher than they're supposed to. And teams reach for guys. And I think if that starts happening, that's going to help Philly. What really, team like the Browns are sitting there going, please don't take a quarterback because we got to unload Baker Mayfield. And so, like, I think that's what's going to fall right after those couple picks is Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield. Those teams are waiting to see if they can dish those guys. But if quarterbacks go early, it's going to be an interesting spot. And Howie's probably just sitting here waiting, going, like, pick quarterbacks. Because I know there's a couple guys in that, like, 10, 11 range that he really would like to get
on. Yeah, let's talk about those guys. Listen, they need defense. No secret. But it is a very deep wide receiver draft. So, the three guys that are intriguing as far as Eagles go that might be picked a little earlier than their pick – is Kyle Hamilton. It's Stingley, the cornerback, and Jermaine Johnson. Do they like those guys enough to move up to get him?
I would think Hamilton by a little bit. The whole league, and I don't get this, Mike. Like, the whole league hates picking safeties high. And then when you think of, like, elite defenses that the league has seen, they all had, like, dynamic safety play. And when we look at offenses, tight ends and these hybrid chess pieces on offense are becoming so important. Why is the guy who covers them not valued? And so I think Kyle Hamilton is liked by a lot of teams. That the 40 time turns some teams off. I don't think it's a real 4-7, but I think the what he can do to your defense changes what you do. If he gets close to Philly, I wouldn't be surprised there. Stingley is really, really intriguing. I did his pro day down at LSU and had a chance to talk to him. Some teams are terrified of him with the medical and taking almost really two seasons off, it seems like. You know, he played 10 games in the 2 years after 2019 when he was could have went into the league as a first-round pick after his freshman year. But there are some teams that go, this is an all-pro. These are tangibles that don't come around very often. These are ball skills that don't come around very often. He can do everything that's asked of him as a corner. If the medical checks out, and I'm not sure yet where the Eagles stand on his medical, he's a no-brainer at 15 if he's sitting there.
All right, now let's talk about the wide receivers. It seems to be very deep, and you're talking about a couple premier guys maybe there at 15, and one's Drake London, the other's Olave. Would they be intrigued to go wide receiver again?
I think they will be. Mainly if they take both first-round picks, right? If they have two picks and they're planning when things start getting close to them, they're not going to move, we're going to take both. I think receivers definitely in play for two reasons. One, you want to surround Jalen Hurts with as much talent as possible because they're taking a true look at him this year, and they have seen progression. Everybody I talked to, not even affiliated with the Eagles, is like, if you look at him, I mean, from Alabama to Oklahoma to his time in the NFL, he's gotten better every single year. Like, he does progress. Does that continue? There's some people that don't love him still, but does that continue? Well, if he has more talent around him, you get a good look at him. If he's not the guy, you still have that talent around the next quarterback you put in. So I think you look at Drake London, it's kind of the opposite of what Devontae Smith is, and he can play inside and outside, and a big body guy against, you know, the thin, you know, marvelous route runner in Devontae Smith, and the Eagles think he's going to be a superstar. And I remember doing his pro day. It was wild. I think Jameson Williams would be a great play for the Eagles if he's there. There are plenty of teams that think he is having the highest ceiling of any player in this draft and at the wide receiver position. And if you have patience, which I think, like I said, Howie is in this building mode, if you have patience and you're fine with him not playing the first couple of weeks coming off the ACL and you don't need him to contribute right away, they'd love him to, but if you're in for the long term, when we look at these receiver contracts that are going around the league, like it's not out of the question for them to take a receiver if the right one falls to him, and I would pick Jameson Williams.
Yeah, that would probably Philadelphia fans would like that too, because it's a tangible gain to Philadelphia Eagle
exactly.
fans, you know?
Yeah.
To have a playmaking guy you can throw right out there. All right, so last thing. Give me your prediction on how the quarterbacks go in order and whether they all go in the first round.
I think at Carolina, they're taking a really deep look at everybody. I don't think Malik Willis is the first guy off the board. I think he's probably the second. But, man, I talked to a team, Mike, like, they were like, nothing against the kid. Love him. Really nice. Actually very bright. His understanding of football is at a high school level. Like, understanding of defense is at a high school level. That jumps out at me. Like, this is a legit project. So he's a project. So a team that would have to, like, maybe the Saints wouldn't be in play for him at the end, being the second quarterback off the board. Some people think Kenny Pickett is the probably the most ready, but I've talked to enough teams that truly believe that he has maybe reached his ceiling already. Like, this is about as good as he's going to get. Like, if you keep working with a guy like Malik Willis, he's going to get better. This might be as good as Pickett gets. Some teams and rooms, like I said, these guys are really, like, elite guys. If you look at last year's quarterback group, I don't think any of these guys would have been taken in the top seven of the quarterbacks. Like, the first guy taken would probably be the eighth quarterback off the board last year. So that's where this stands. There's teams like Matt Corral where, like, half the room loves him and half the room hates him. So, like, it's a really wild crapshoot for these quarterbacks right now. And that's why there's a chance a couple teams reach because they're desperate. And there's a chance that they all kind of sit for a minute because there's no sure thing by any means.
So you think Pickett will be the first and Willis will be the second?
I think so.
All right. I think Carolina, to save his job, he's got to take one and develop
exactly.
it.
But, I mean, he's hanging on by a thread. Yeah. I think what happens with Carolina, though, is how the tackles go before they pick. If there's still tackles available, he can convince ownership to say, we got it. I mean, our offensive line is abysmal. We got to take a tackle. If there's one of those top three still sitting there at six, which is a possibility, and he can delay it. That part is going to change the way this draft goes, specifically for teams like the Eagles that are picking right, you know, around 12 through, you know, the teens.
James, it's always a pleasure, and fight the good fight out there. At least you'll get a second round.
There's a reason I'm coming to Philly next week. And you know what? You know who I'm going to the game? Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. Him and I are going to the game, two Philly guys. And guess who they're playing Wednesday night? They're playing the freaking Rockies. So I'm excited.
Wow, there you go. Look at you.
And take down the Rockies.
So you and Garofalo are going?
Yeah, we're going together.
Okay.
We're going to go together, catch a little Phillies baseball on Wednesday. We're both in town for the draft.
That sounds good, brother. We'll touch base. Thanks a lot. Coming on.
All right, Mike.
Be James easy. Palmer, NFL Network, on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.